Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to everyone. Can I say Merry Christmas? And it's not yet. I can. Okay. I was wondering about that. But if you are visiting with us this morning, first, we're glad you are here. Second is I'm the backup guy. You got the second string, the B team. And so Pastor Darren and Stacy are out of town this week. They are in Florida at a wedding. And if you have a chance to connect with them when they return, just ask them how their trip went out there. They had quite a fiasco with their flights and being booked to delays and missed flights and being booked on the wrong city. And it was, sounds like it was a nightmare. He did text me this morning and he wanted to say a big Merry Christmas to everyone. So, if you don't know me, my name's Craig Duncan, and I'm going to lead us into God's Word this morning. So this morning, we're sort of going to conclude our Advent series that we have been in. We won't be having a traditional Christmas Eve service this year, or any sort of Christmas gathering, where we would typically light the Christ candle, but as it might seem that we're kind of winding down the Advent series, I look at it actually quite differently. I feel like we are building up to today's topic of love and then building up to the Christ candle of Christ's birth, obviously. So we're sort of crescendoing into the topic of love and then into the Christ's birth. That's how I build myself up. I was thinking, Darren gave me the last one, and it's like kind of winding down. But it's not that way. We're building up to love, and we're going to see how important love is today, and then Christ, when we celebrate Christ's birth. So today we're talking about love, where love, I believe, is placed in Scripture on the highest of planes. It's Scripture says that love never fails, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then we all know in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 where it says that faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So that's how I build myself up. But I've got the heaviest topic, right? The heaviest of the Advent weeks. So we're not winding down. We're building up. The title of my message today is Because of His Love. And our key text is in 1 John chapter 4, 9 through 10, and we're also going to look at verse 19. So if you have your Bibles, you can begin to navigate there. We'll get to that in a moment. But before we begin, I have to confess that this message was surprisingly difficult for me to put together and prepare for, despite like the birth of Christ being sort of a key turning point in the world, and one of the most significant miracles in all of Scripture, the virgin birth, that is. It's not a topic I've really preached on before, and growing up in church, we seem to focus more on the life and ministry of Jesus and the death of Jesus and His resurrection, but we sort of reserve this topic for just Christmas time, and I believe that's kind of unfair. I believe this is something we should visit more often because there's so much truth in it that we can glean from. The other challenge I had, and maybe you might have as well, is like as soon as the end of November comes around, we're immediately flooded with so many feelings and memories and stresses that aren't really connected to the true Christmas story. We quickly start thinking about getting together with family and making those plans. And then, of course, here in America, lots of food have to go with that and sugar. And then you have to figure out, well, how am I going to get there? Do I got to fly? And then do I need to get gifts for these people? Right. I mean, all these things begin to flood our mind and they distract us from the true message of Christmas. And so that's me. And so my prayer this morning is simply that we can kind of put aside those things, because there may be, as I just spoke them, maybe they're kind of going through your mind. But we can put aside those things for just the next 30 minutes or so and allow God to speak to our hearts about one of the most significant events in all of history. Are you guys with me? Are we good? All right. So One of my favorite pastors, authors, and Bible teachers is a man by the name of David Platt. And he wrote a book called Radical. I'd recommend that book. I highly recommend that book. But he shared a story in that book that I want to read to you. And he says this. He says, I remember sitting outside a Buddhist temple in Indonesia. Men and women filled the elaborate, colorful temple grounds where they daily performed their religious rituals. Meanwhile, I was engaged in a conversation with a Buddhist leader and a Muslim leader in this particular community. They were discussing how all religions are fundamentally the same and are only superficially different. One of them said, we may have different views about small issues, but when it comes down to essentials, each of our religions is the same. I listened for a while, and then they asked me what I thought. I said, it sounds as though you both picture God, or whatever you call God, at the top of a mountain. It seems as if you believe that we are all at the bottom of the mountain, and I may take one route up the mountain, and you may take another, but in the end, we will all end up in the same place. They smiled, and as I spoke, they said, yeah, exactly, you understand. Then I leaned in and I said, now, let me ask you a question. What would you think if I told you that the God at the top of the mountain actually came down to where we are? What would you think if I told you that God doesn't wait for people to find their way to Him, but instead He comes to us? They thought for a moment and they responded, yeah, that would be great. And I replied, let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. And church, that is what we celebrate at Christmas time, right? God doesn't wait for us to climb the mountain to Him, but rather He came off the mountain to us. So that is what we celebrate at Christmas time, and I'm so thankful for it. So when we read in the Old Testament, we learn that God's presence was made manifest in several different places, like the Ark of the Covenant, the temple, the tabernacle, or even a cloud in some cases. But we're going to explore this morning how that radically changed when God, because of His love for you and I, came down from the mountain to where we are. So I have kind of 3 points, 3 themes, 3 observations, whatever you want to call it. I have 3 areas for us to consider this morning. And the first one is this. It is one, because of His love, He sent His Son. Because of His love, He sent His Son. So we're going to look at our key scripture this morning, 1 John 4, 9 through 10. We're going to save verse 19 for later. 1 John 4, 9 through 10 says this. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Verse 9 says, He sent His one and only Son into the world. It's basically saying that God, the creator of the universe, the name above all names, had a son. Now, I'm not going to assume that all of us have been around church our whole lives, but this is a difficult concept maybe for some of us to grasp. I know it was for me, but okay, how does God have a son? Of course, we know that the son here is Jesus, but who is Jesus? For the sake of time, we can't really dig into the depths of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in short, we know that God was actually God in 3 persons, not 3 separate gods or even 3 separate parts, but rather the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But there's still one God. I know it's difficult to understand, and I'm not going to get into those details right now, but our text says that God sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. So Jesus was God's Son, and He sent Him into the world to save mankind. But was Jesus somehow lesser than the Father? What kind of power and authority did Jesus have? I know these are good questions. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 3. It says, it should be on the screen. where this is where we see Jesus' credentials, so to speak. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Here's where it gets good. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So that's who Jesus is. Church, Jesus was God in human flesh that was sent to mankind to make a way where there was no way, to pay our debt that we could not pay. That's a rap song right there. Write that down. Make a way where there was no way to pay our debt. Anyway, Darren would have done it. I can't do it. But in all seriousness, though, Jesus did make a way where there was no way. So our text says that this is how God showed his love for us. God's love isn't this abstract thing. It wasn't this mysterious thing that we were left hanging, wondering what it is. Something that we just talk about or write about. It was demonstrated and made clear to us by the sending of his Son, who walked this earth, ministered throughout the region of Judea in flesh and blood, and eventually sacrificed his life for you and I. So our key passage in 1 John this morning sounds probably pretty similar to another scripture that you guys are all familiar with. If you've done your memory verse homework, you already passed. You got this one, I guarantee it. It's in every end zone and every backstop at a Major League Baseball game. It is all over the place, and it's found in the fourth gospel, and the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. It's very similar because it's the same guy that wrote it. He recorded it. He didn't author it. But John, in John 3:16, verse 17, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You guys have all read this before. I have too. We grew up learning it. It's like, the gospel in a couple short sentences, right? And rightfully so, it's a beautiful piece of scripture. But I gotta tell you, I've read it differently this time. And I want to show you where I maybe have looked at it a little bit differently. I've always read this scripture through the lens of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. The part where it says that he gave his one and only Son. I always read that to mean that he gave him in the sense of giving him up on the cross to die. And I think that's probably accurate. But if we read it in the context of the next verse, verse 17, it's talking about sending his Son into the world. And so I believe that John 3:16 is absolutely relevant to the Christmas story, and that God so loved the world that he gave, as in he gave the gift of Jesus to the world. He sent him into the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God's motivation for creating the universe was love. God's motivation for sending his Son to the earth was love. God's motivation for sending his Son to die was love. And then eventually God's motivation for his second coming and returning for his bride is love. And the reason why is because 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. It's who he is. It is the perfect purpose behind all that he does. Everything he does from the place of love. And it may not look that way, maybe on the surface, but I promise you, one day we will see how it was all motivated by love. So our first observation was that because of his love, he sent his Son. And so I want to move to our second theme or our second observation this morning. And that is, because of his love, we love. Because of his love, we love. So if you have your Bibles, you're probably already in 1 John 4. 1 John 4:9-10, but I want to look at verse 19 now. I'll read the whole thing though, starting in verse 9, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Here, skip down to verse 19. We love because He first loved us. So our proper response to Christ of first loving us is that we love. We love because He first loved us. Romans 5:8. Sorry, I've got a lot of scriptures today. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can we grasp the magnitude of that? Knowing full well that many, in fact, most people would not and will not believe in Him. Not they won't accept Him and ultimately they would reject Him. Knowing all of this, He first loved us while we were still sinners. Scripture says as sinners, we're actually enemies of God, Colossians says. But knowing all of this, He died for us, knowing full well that we would reject Him. He died for us, which is the ultimate display of love for mankind. He knew this wouldn't be a one-for-one exchange. Rather, He chose to die for those that He knew would not accept Him. You see, Jesus modeled for us that loving and expecting something in return, for that love really is a business transaction. That's not true love, right? True love is loving and expecting nothing in return. And that's the kind of love Jesus had. But often we get in this mess of, well, you know, I loved you and did this for you, so then I expect this. That's not love. That's a business transaction. So as Christ followers, we have this same high calling on our lives. In John 13, 34 through 35, should be on the screen, He says this, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another." We just read how God loves us, and now Jesus is saying, in that same kind of love that I love you, you go and love one another. Really? Really, God? He gave us a model of the kind of love we are to have with one another, but this really wasn't, He says, a new command. It wasn't really a new command. It was commanded in the Old Testament too. But if I could say it in this way, it was a higher standard. It was a higher standard because He explains it by how God loves us. Or as God loves Jesus, we are to love one another. And also as Jesus loves us. So today in 2019, how do you think the world knows that we, the church, are followers of Christ? It says, by this, everyone will know that you are My disciples. So how do you think the world recognizes that we are followers of Christ? Maybe because we don't watch R-rated movies? Or is it because we don't use foul language? Or do you think it might be because we don't smoke or we don't drink or whatever it might be? Unfortunately, I think we are probably most recognized by a list of things that we don't do than the things that we are for, if that makes sense. All the things that we are against instead of the things that we are for. I think we've got a job to do to turn that around, church. We're recognized not by our love for one another, but by all the things that we are against. Jesus says that the distinguishing mark on your life and my life should be how we love one another. I believe we've got a lot of work to do in that area. I know I do. So we love because He first loved us. We love God because He first loved us. We love people because He first loved us. I'll tell you that daily, if not more than daily, I miss the mark. And I miss opportunities where God has called me to show His love. But I want to tell you a quick story. Probably about 10 years ago, I went down to the Dream Center in Los Angeles, where they run a ministry to the mostly the homeless community on Skid Row. And I was a team from our church in Newburgh, and and had an opportunity to join them and serve the homeless down on Skid Road, serve a meal. And they don't have a facility down there, so we had to get a permit from the city or whoever, and we set up food on the street, basically, and we serve food. And I hate to say that you can judge a book by its cover, but many of these individuals, you know, look like they were living on the streets. And, you know, they had been out there a while, and many of them have drug and alcohol addictions or some mental challenges, mental health issues. But this one individual was in the line, and he was like in slacks, and he had dress shoes on. And I think he might have even had a sport coat on. And so, needless to say, he stuck out a little bit. And when he came up to me, he said, "Hey, I'm with the Los Angeles City Police Department. Can I pull you aside and talk to you a minute?" And I'm like, "Oh man, we're done." I'm like, "Here we were trying to help people, and somebody didn't get the permit apparently, and this thing's over with." And he says, and he pulls me aside, and he says, "Hey man, he's like, "I'm obviously not here for food. I work in that building over there, and I saw you guys from the window, and I just wanted to say, you know, why are you doing this? This is really dangerous, you know, to be out here doing what you're doing. What's your motivation?" And I had an opportunity to explain to this guy that I, because Christ first loved me, then that stirs to me to love others. It says, because we love because he first loved us. And I said, "Look, the love that Christ has shown me, the only way I can reflect that back to Christ is by loving him and loving others." And he kind of lit up. He's like, "Yeah, I mean, and I don't know where this guy, where his faith was. We didn't get into that, but I could tell in his eyes that he got it." And I had an opportunity to share with him that the amazing love that Christ had shown me, and this was the way that I had shown that to others. And he shook my hand and he said, "Thanks," and he went back to work. But I don't know really what happened there, but I knew after we left that day that not only did we show love to those that needed a meal that day, but we also showed love to those that were watching. And that's what I felt good in my heart, and I know that God was glorified in that moment. So as we move through Christmas and the new year in 2020, I pray that we look for ways to do just that, to show, to demonstrate, and to share God's love with those around us. Because why? Because he first loved us. Amen. So the last one, we've looked at, because of his love, he sent his son. We've looked at also the second one, because of his love, we love. And then lastly, I'd like us to consider, because of his love, we are free. Well, because of his love, we are free. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, it says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Church, that should get us fired up. That should get us excited. This is the good news of the gospel. This is, I tried to summarize what the gospel is. This is my own definition, but this is what I came up with. Because of God's immense love for you and I, he sent to the earth his son, Jesus, who was offered up as the final perfect sacrifice once and for all to pay our debt of sin, so that for those who accept his forgiveness and love and follow him can be blameless before a holy God. Because of his love, we are free. Amen. It says that, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That should get us fired up. That gets me excited, that we are free because of his love. I want to kind of bring us to a close. And you may be here this morning and thinking, I've heard this all before, Pastor. I've heard this all before. It's supposed to be good news to someone, but you don't know me. I'm too dirty. Or I've messed up too bad. There's no way that God can love me. I want you to know that when God sent Jesus to the world, He didn't change reality. He just entered it. He didn't change the landscape. He didn't change the environment. He didn't clean it up before He came. No, He just came to it. He entered it. The enemy will try to tell you that God will show up in your life when this happens. God will show up in your life when this part changes. But the truth is, Jesus showed up on this earth and entered your life and my life simply because He loves us. Period. No more, no less. Listen to what A.W. Tozer says. He says, Jesus Christ knows the worst about you. Nonetheless, He is the one who loves you the most. Jesus Christ knows the worst about you. Nonetheless, He is the one who loves you the most. That's powerful, and it's truth. I'm not going to call it a translation, in a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, John 1 verse 14 says this, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." I love that. He moved into the neighborhood. He moved in. He set up shop. He didn't have this half-hearted commitment to you and I. He didn't set up a little tent, temporary structure. No, He came to me and you, and He moved into the neighborhood of our lives. Despite the dirtiness, despite the evil that may be hidden in our hearts, He moved into the neighborhood. And I'm so thankful He did for me. Let me ask us a question. How much do you think God the Father loves His Son? That has to be the greatest of loves. That has to be the most perfect kind of love that the Father has for the Son. But I want us to consider that when we read this final scripture in John 15:9. John 15:9, this is Jesus talking here. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." I can't comprehend that. Jesus is saying, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Really, Jesus? You love me that much? Do you know what I've done? I don't believe that we have the ability to even comprehend the level of love that the Father has for His Son, and then likewise how much Jesus has for us. But I do know this. We can experience it when we open our hearts to Him and we allow His love to set us free from brokenness. I've heard it said this way. I've given God a million reasons not to love me, and none of them have changed His mind. Is that good? I've given God a million reasons not to love me, and none of them have changed His mind. That's good. As we discussed earlier, everything God has done in history and everything God will do forever and ever is motivated by His love, because God is love. And on Wednesday, we will celebrate maybe one of the biggest displays of that love, when God sent His Son into Mary's womb and Jesus was born. And then wrapped in rags and laid in a manger. So I'm going to light, because we don't have a Christmas Eve gathering, I'm going to light the Christ candle. So this was the humble beginning of a ministry that rocked the world, that turned it upside down. You and I will never be the same because of Jesus Christ coming into this world. So in a moment, I'm going to pray. And if Kirk and the team could come and lead us in one last song before I dismiss. But before I pray, I'd like to give an opportunity for anyone here this morning that may be hurting and maybe needs to experience the love of God like we've talked about this morning. Maybe you've never heard it explained that way. Maybe you've never experienced God's love the way we've talked about today. Or maybe you've just heard something today and the Holy Spirit caused you to hear it in a new way. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know God's love, but you, for whatever reason, you've found yourself in a season of brokenness. And this isn't the time of good news. And there's something going on that you need a touch from God's love this morning. I believe that God's word says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. In fact, I would go so far to even say that God is attracted to those that are hurting. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. And if something this morning stood out to you and you would like some prayer, could you just quickly just slip your hand up or make eye contact with me? I want to pray for you as we close. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Father in heaven, God, in this Christmas season, Father, we know, Father, that you came to this broken, broken world. You came to this, to a hurting people. And God, I pray that for those that have responded this morning, that God, that they would feel your touch. They would feel your love this morning. And God, that they would know that we have hope. We have hope because we serve the King of Kings. And that King of Kings came to off the mountain and came to us. We don't work to climb to the top. Rather, you came to us. It says God came near to us. God with us. God, I'm just so thankful that you are in this place and you're ministering to all those that need a touch from you this morning. God, I pray as we go from here, Father, that as we are in our gatherings with our families, that God, we would look for opportunities to share your love with those around us. Why? Because you first loved us. And so, God, we then love you and those around us and the people, your creation. God, I'm so thankful for this Christmas season that, God, you came to rescue us and you came to earth to show your love. And I pray that we would do the same. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And God, I pray that you would be with us as we go. Amen.